Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 57 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Logan Pemberton.
A victim came forth and alleged that Mr. Otumba had sexually abused her.
A Moorhead State University student is facing charges in Rowan County.
A man wanted in connection with three weekend burglaries has been captured.
Three missing hikers in Carter County have been found.
Work is underway to tear down an old factory in Vanceburg.
Olive Hill police officers are getting raises.
In sports, the Rowan County boys basketball team travels to Greenup County tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 42 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
A Lexington man is facing sexual abuse charges in Moorhead. According to police, 22-year-old Walamona Otumba is a Moorhead State University student, and he's been accused of sexually abusing another student. MSUPD Chief Merle Harrison says the victim came to police with allegations of unwanted sexual contact.
Through the investigation, the warrant was obtained by Detective Mike Martin. And after we got the warrant, Mr. Otumba came and turned himself in to us, and we lodged him here in the Rowan County Jail.
Harrison says the first-degree sexual abuse is a Class D felony. If convicted, Otumba could face up to 5 years in prison. He will appear in Rowan District Court on December the 4th.
A Wellington man wanted in connection with Thanksgiving weekend burglaries in Moorhead has been arrested. Authorities says 39-year-old Brian Smith was located at a Dry Creek residence in Clearfield Tuesday night, hiding in a crawl space under the house. Moorhead Police Department Captain Kyle Callahan says after a brief standoff, Smith surrendered to police and was arrested.
Through further investigation, gave Officer Overstreet, who is the investigating officer, he had enough probable cause to formally charge Smith with the burglary first degree for bypass pawn, and the burglary third for Save-A-Lot.
Smith also faces two counts of theft by unlawful taking, charges for allegedly shoplifting a television in September, and attempting to shoplift a second TV on Saturday. Callahan says 10 handguns taken from bypass pawn have not been recovered.
Rowan Sheriff Matt Sparks says a Lexington man arrested in connection with nearly 30 vehicle break-ins this fall is a suspect in over 100 similar incidents in multiple counties up and down Interstate 64 and 75. According to Sparks, 25-year-old Maurice Cruz Dario has admitted to the incidents and has told authorities he often had partners in the crimes.
He's had one other accomplice with him, and he hasn't been charged yet, but from talking to the arresting agency down there, he's owned up to it. Like I said, he's named an accomplice, and I don't think he's been indicted, or at least if he had, he may have by now. This was probably one day last week that I talked with him last. But, yeah, as far as we know, he's only working with one other guy.
Sparks says Dario is in the Bourbon County Jail. He's facing numerous felony theft charges. Since the man has admitted to the crimes, the Rowan Sheriff believes he'll be convicted and will likely be spending the next several years behind bars.
A Boyd County jail escapee is facing felony charges. WMKY's Cody Robinson has the story.
The Daily Independent reports that the most recent prisoner to escape from Boyd County Detention Center is scheduled for arraignment this week. 32-year-old Philip Tolliver of Wortland got loose from jail the night before Thanksgiving, according to Catlettsburg Police. Tolliver reportedly gained access to the roof through a piping system, which then enabled him to jump over the barbed-wired fence surrounding the building. After arriving at a house on 2nd Street, Tolliver asked the homeowner if he could use his cell phone, who obliged. The resident called police when Tolliver left after noticing that the escapee still had his Facebook account logged in and was sending suspicious messages. Tolliver was captured by police near 15th Street in Ashland. His arraignment is scheduled for Friday in Boyd Circuit Court on charges of second-degree escape and first-degree promoting contraband. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
The search for three missing hikers in Carter County had a happy ending this morning. Authorities say 62-year-old Mark Wagner, 28-year-old Lindsay Wallen, and 21-year-old Riot Sindel went hiking in the Camp Webb area near Grayson Lake on Tuesday afternoon. Grayson Emergency Management Director Roger Dunphy says crews searched from 6 p.m. to 2 a.m. to find the trio, but were unsuccessful. Rescue teams were successful earlier this morning.
They were fine. They were in good health, a little bit cold, but no injuries or nothing was wrong. The fella was a naturalist. He liked the outdoors, and he was a wildlife photographer or something. Mm-hmm. So he spends a lot of time out of doors. And so he knew exactly what he was doing. He took care of the girls.
Dunphy said the group was able to build a fire near Grayson Lake to keep warm overnight.
Work is underway to tear down the former L.V. Marx shoe factory in Vanceburg. Vacant for several decades, the old building had become a dangerous downtown eyesore. Mayor Matt Ginn says it will take time to get its location on Raleigh Street cleared of all the debris and rubble.
Probably about 10 weeks is what our anticipated goal is. Depending on when they get into it, could be quicker or whatever, but they don't expect it to go over 10 weeks at worst case scenario.
The cleanup effort will cost around $250,000. Vanceburg received a $200,000 federal EPA brownfield grant and a $50,000 Clean Commonwealth grant in 2015 to pay for the effort. What will eventually be done with the old factory site is still to be determined.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the City of Moorhead, sponsor of the annual Moorhead-Rowan County Community Christmas Dinner, 4 to 7 p.m. on Thursday, December 7th at the Carl Perkins Community Center and the annual Community Christmas Parade on Main Street at 6 p.m. on Friday, December 8th. Details and more information from the City of Moorhead at 606-784-8505 and online at moorhead-ky.gov.
According to Judge Executive Mike Malone, Carter County's future looks very bright. Malone is basing that assessment on Brady's Industries' recent decision to build its $1.3 billion aluminum mill at a site in the East Park Industrial Park, just 8 miles from Grayson. He believes land not far from where the factory will be located off Kentucky 207 and U.S. 60 will soon be filled with new houses and new residents.
That area out there has just been very, very rural, and it's going to wind up being high-dollar housing now. There will be expensive subdivisions out there, and there will be a land rush because of it, because our property taxes are lower than anybody near us, and there's a lot of land, and the land's reasonable, particularly to people that move in here from large cities.
Malone adds that he agrees with Ashland Alliance President and CEO Tim Gibbs' prediction that in 5 to 10 years, there won't be any vacancies inside the industrial park. Brady Industry plans to have its 550-employee plant up and running by 2020.
Olive Hill's plan to increase pay for its police officers will go into place. WMKY's Kyle Blankenbuehler reports.
According to the Grayson Journal-Inquirer, the compensation ordinance upping the police officer salaries was nearly tabled after Councilman Justin Dixon said there was confusion about how the new rates of pay compared with the old ones. Dixon also complained about what he called uneven increases in the rates for the department's two upper pay grades, which include the chief and captain. After those issues were resolved, council voted to pass the suggested pay hikes for the police department. Once enacted, the minimum pay for patrolmen will be $15 per hour, $18 for sergeants and detectives, $19 for captains, and $20 for the chief. For WMKY, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
After collecting more than 47,000 pounds of food, the Big Sandy Area Development District has won the Commonwealth Bowl. WYMT reports the statewide food drive began in October. It concluded yesterday when Secretary of State Allison Lundergan Grimes announced that the district pulled in over $34,000 worth of donations. Executive Director Sandy Runyon says they placed 37 barrels across the 5 counties the Big Sandy Area Development District serves.
We're really excited and we're very happy that the participation and the contributions made by the 5 counties allowed this ad to be able to win the competition statewide.
Runyon says the donation truly represents the giving nature of the region. The donations now go to local food banks in preparation for cold winter months.
Biofuel researchers in Lexington are putting leftover turkey oil to good use. WKYT reports the University of Kentucky Research Lab collected over 400 gallons of used turkey grease this Thanksgiving. Eduardo Jimenez has been working on turning the oil into fuel for the past decade. Jimenez says the biofuel made from turkey oil is chemically identical to petroleum-derived products like jet fuel or diesel, but it's actually a little cleaner.
This would be, I would say, better than petroleum-derived diesel for any internal combustion engine.
Jimenez's team is currently converting small samples of oil with a torso-sized processor, but their long-term goal is to produce biofuel on a more usable scale using a processor as tall as a building.
President J. Morgan and family spent their first Thanksgiving in the newly renovated home on the campus of Morehead State University last week. The renovation project began shortly after Morgan was selected to be the university's 14th president. Shayla Ring is the spokesperson for MSU's Facilities Management Department. She says the renovation was extensive.
We went in and looked at all of the electrical and all of the plumbing because it still had the original 1929 electric and plumbing in the house. So they moved in last Tuesday and started to get ready for the holidays and then are gearing up for Christmas on campus and Christmas in their new home.
Ring says the project cost the university roughly $285,000.
College campuses should take more action when it comes to sexual violence. That's according to Attorney General Andy Beshear. According to Spectrum News, Beshear says the recent mandates from the U.S. Department of Education, which require higher standards of proof in sexual harassment cases, will make students less safe. The Attorney General's office received a $4.5 million grant to test nearly 3,000 backlogged rape kits.
That grant is also going to help us test an additional 1,000 to 1,500 kits that are out there that weren't included in that original 3,000 count for a number of different reasons, but it will mean that every single untested kit for any reason in Kentucky will be tested and ought to be tested within the next year or year and a half, I believe. Our number of untested rape kits in Kentucky will truly hit zero.
There is also a $3 million grant from the U.S. Department of Justice that will focus on cases involving those previously untested rape kits.
A Kentucky man already wanted for making terror threats is facing new charges. Here's Will Clark.
University of Kentucky police on Monday arrested DeAndre Davis about a minute and a half after they say he walked into the school's armory with a gun. UK police say they've been looking into Davis since last March and were able to quickly respond when he turned up on campus with a concealed weapon. No one was hurt. I'm Will Clark.
A plaque in the Kentucky Capitol declaring Jefferson Davis to be a hero and a patriot will not be removed until a lawyer with Governor Matt Bevin's administration can determine whether the commission that voted to get rid of the marker has the authority to do it. The plaque is attached to a 15-foot or 4.5-meter marble statue of Davis, who was born in Kentucky and became the only president of the Confederacy. The statue is governed by the Historic Properties Advisory Commission, which in 2015 voted not to remove it from the Capitol following the racially motivated killings of 9 people at an African-American church in South Carolina. But earlier this year, the commission voted unanimously to remove the plaque, which it said was subjective. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the rest of this week. Tonight, partly cloudy skies with a low around 42. Thursday, cloudy skies with a high of 60. Thursday night, showers moving into the area in the evening with a low of 33. Friday, sunny skies with a high of 51 degrees. Friday night, clear skies with a low near freezing. Saturday, partly cloudy with a high of 56. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low of 36. Sunday, sunny with a high near 60 degrees. Taking a look at the current temperatures, it is 57 degrees here in Morehead and in Lexington, 56 degrees in Winchester, 54 degrees in Inez and Ashland, and 52 degrees in Flemingsburg.
On our feature segment this afternoon, Sustainable Morehead, an organization dedicated to further sustainable living in eastern Kentucky, met on Monday to discuss East Kentucky Power Cooperative's decision to license solar panels to their members. WMKY's Logan Pemberton was there and files this report.
All right, so everybody's seen the big solar farm there. Well, good. That's one of the reasons we put it there, so that everybody can see it.
East Kentucky Power has recently built a solar farm in Winchester. Cooperative Solar One is located directly off of Interstate 64. The 60-acre farm began generating electricity this month at a rate of an estimated 460 kilowatt-hours per panel annually. Joe Settles is the manager of member services at EKP. He says that the farm is a community solar project.
And when I say community solar, as long as you're a member and one of the 16 owner members, one of the co-ops, you can participate. The license fee to participate is $460 to license one panel. And when you license that panel, you are licensing the energy output of it. You don't own the panel. It is a license for the energy that's created.
Members of Sustainable Moorhead had many questions, like the benefits of allowing the purchasing of licenses and the benefits of solar energy in general. One question on the minds of many members of Sustainable Moorhead was the effort to replace electricity generated with fossil fuels with renewable options and the role the farm plays in that initiative.
Every megawatt that's produced by this farm, as it's produced today, right now I think we're at somewhere a little over 7 megawatts. That's 7 megawatts that we don't have to purchase off of the grid or produce ourselves. So that's 7 megawatts that's not being produced across the PJM footprint.
Settles spoke of EKPC's plans to host tours for schools and the general public in the spring. That's an idea Sustainable Moorhead's Leslie O'Berry thinks will be very effective.
It is a great educational piece, if nothing else, just to educate people that there are other viable alternatives to our typical power sources. And I don't think we're ever going to get to a point where we're, you know, 100% renewable. I don't even know if that's practical, but I think it is great to have that in the mix, you know, to offset our carbon footprint.
The opportunity to buy a license to the power generated by a panel is open to any customer of one of the 16 owner members of East Kentucky Power Cooperative spanning across 87 counties in Kentucky. For more information on Cooperative Solar, you can visit their website at cooperativesolar.com. Sustainable Moorhead has information about other programs on its Facebook page. For WMKY, I'm Logan Pemberton.
It's 447 and 57 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with WMKY's Logan Pemberton, and we're so glad that you've joined us on this Wednesday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR provided by Downtown Moorhead Incorporated and sponsor of Moorhead's Hometown Holidays. On Saturday, December 2nd, the Appalachian Holiday Arts and Crafts Fair at Moorhead State University, Hometown Holiday on Main Street, and Cave Run Symphony Orchestra Concert at the Moorhead Conference Center. The Moorhead Rowan County Christmas Dinner is Thursday, December 7th at the Carl Perkins Center, and Christmas Parade on Main Street Friday, December 8th. Events and information on Facebook under Downtown Moorhead.
Eagles visit Greenup. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Round County boys basketball team will try to add to its 1-0 record tonight. Coming off of their season opening victory against Montgomery County on Monday, Coach Sean Thacker's Vikings faces a challenge on the road as they visit Greenup County.
We just got to do a good job controlling tempo. We got to do a good job defensively. We got to do a good job rebounding the basketball, and we can't turn it over. You know, and they're a lot like us. They'll throw some junk defense at us. They'll do some different things. So we have to be able to adjust to the changing defenses.
This will be Greenup County season opener. The Musketeers won 25 games last year. They returned guard Gage Hughes, who averaged almost 29 points a game as a junior. After going 0-2 during its recent road trip to Virginia Tech and Central Arkansas, the Moorhead State men's basketball team returns home tomorrow. The 1-5 Eagles take on Alice Lloyd College at 6 o'clock, and Coach Preston Spreadlin says they have no time to focus on the past.
We've got a game plan. We've got to get ready to play Alice Lloyd at home, and then after that I think we go to Northern Kentucky before finals. So it doesn't get much easier. Just got to prepare for it and got to keep these young guys, their spirits up.
Alice Lloyd is 6-1 after losing the other night to NAIA Division II power Malone 97-60. The Moorhead State women's basketball team will try to add to its 4-3 record tomorrow evening at 8:15 as the Eagles entertain Southern Illinois. If there's one thing that MSU coach Greg Todd likes about his ball club right now, it's the way they're hitting the glass. The Eagles have out-rebounded their opponents by an average of 20 boards per game this season.
Got a long way to go in a lot of areas, but certainly teams are going to have to prepare very hard on keeping us off the glass. That's been a strength almost in every single game that we've played. In the preseason scrimmages we've had, we've been an outstanding rebounding team.
Southern Illinois will enter Johnson Arena with a 3-2 record following a 57-53 loss Monday to SIU Edwardsville. Morehead State football coach Rob Tenier says wide receiver Jaron Higginbotham earned his spot on the 2017 second team All-Pioneer Football League list and then some. The junior from Liberty Township, Ohio, caught 48 passes this season for 974 yards and 10 touchdowns. He also averaged over 20 yards a reception.
Yeah, he's special. He's one of the best in the conference. He's a first team all conference player, and people do things to defend him and take him away. I'd like for him to get to 1,000, but we're excited to have him coming back.
The Football Eagles had 8 players on the All PFL list. Senior offensive lineman Liam Maloney was also a second teamer. The other 6 were honorable mentions. Coaching searches in the SEC are continuing. According to Clay Travis of OutkicktheCoverage.com, the University of Tennessee had agreed to a deal with Purdue head coach Jeff Brohm, but the contract was not accepted by the UT chancellor, and when a lesser offer was made to Brohm, he turned the job down. Elsewhere, Football Scoop is reporting that Florida State head coach Jimbo Fisher is close to a deal with Texas A&M to become their new head man, and Mississippi State has hired Penn State offensive coordinator Joe Moorhead as its new football coach. The 44-year-old Moorhead replaces Dan Mullen, who left Starkville after 9 seasons to become the Florida Gators head coach on Sunday. The Raceland football team is in Lexington on Friday to battle Beechwood for the Class A state championship, and head coach Michael Salmons notes this is unfamiliar territory for his Rams.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming, you know. I think this is our 92nd year playing high school football, and we've never been able to get to the pinnacle, and so a lot of excitement, a lot of people proud, obviously. A lot of people made a lot of dedication to this program for many, many years, and you know, we're lucky to have the chance to go down to Crocker Field and play for the title.
Luke LeMaster's 36-yard field goal as time expired gave the Rams a 17-14 win over Pikeville last week to send them to the state championship game. Raceland is 10-4 on the year, while Beechwood is 11-2. Friday's game kicks off at 2 p.m. at Kroger Field. Moving forward, Cincinnati Bengals coach Marvin Lewis says it was a good sign that his team ran the ball well during its 30-16 win on Sunday against Cleveland. The Bengals rushed for 152 yards as a group, with 114 of that coming from rookie running back Joe Mixon.
When you think, you know, obviously Joe's, his largest output of the season, and a lot of good things from him, and just got to continue to grow as a young player. And, but it was a good, it was good for, I thought the interior offensive line did a nice job.
Now at 5-6, the Bengals look forward to facing AFC North leader Pittsburgh next Monday night. The Steelers are 9-2. Finally, in sports, the NFL has proposed partnering with its players to effect social justice change. On Monday, the league submitted to players the final draft of a proposal that, according to documents reviewed by ESPN, would contribute nearly $100 million to causes considered important to African-American communities. The NFL hopes this effort will effectively end the peaceful yet controversial protest that former San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick started when he refused to stand for the national anthem last season. The NFL players are expected to discuss the offer during a scheduled conference call later this evening. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball welcomes Alice Lloyd College tomorrow night at 6, followed by a women's basketball matchup with Southern Illinois at 8:15 p.m. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for WMKY. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed at an all-time high as investors bet the U.S. economy's momentum would continue, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 103.97 at 23,940.68, and of course that is an all-time closing high. The broader market not as strong, as the S&P 500 was down 0.97 at 2626.07, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 88.02 at 6824.34, as large cap tech companies such as Amazon and Google backed off today. The Commerce Department released its second read on third quarter U.S. GDP, and this showed the economy expanded at an annualized rate of 3.3%. The number matched estimates and surpassed an initial read of 3% growth. And among sectors today, the tech sector did fall 2.6%, while financial surged almost 2%. And the regional bank index hit an all-time high as the Spider S&P Regional Banking ETF, symbol KRE, was up 3.3%. Retailers had a good day, and most retail stocks rose today following a strong start to the holiday shopping season. The Spider S&P Retail Exchange Traded Fund, symbol XRT, was up 2.5% as shares of Macy's and Nordstrom rose 8.2% and 7.2% respectively. Taxes are definitely in focus this week as the Senate Budget Committee approved the Senate's tax plan yesterday, and this brings the upper chamber closer to a floor vote, which is expected to take place tomorrow. Also, in corporate news, Morgan Stanley upgraded shares of Allergan to overweight, noting that fears about a better Botox may be overdone, and Allergan stock, which has been a really weak performer this year, rose 2.2%. In the commodities markets, oil was down 1% at $57.39. Gold finished with a loss of 0.7% at $1,288.30 an ounce. Overseas, in Europe, stocks were up, with the Stock 600 index gaining 0.25%. In the Far East, stocks were mixed, as the Nikkei was up 0.5%, and the Hang Seng index was down 0.2%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were United Health Group and J.P. Morgan. The worst performers were Visa and Apple. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Target and Macy's, and the worst performers were Autodesk and Micron Technology. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up $2.57 at $73.70, CSX up $2.51 at $54.44, AEP up 11 cents at $77.13, AK Steel up 10 cents at $4.89, Marathon Petroleum down 83 cents at $61.39, and Kroger was up 83 cents to finish at $24.39. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop, a community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Taking another look at the weather for the rest of this week. Tonight, partly cloudy skies with a low around 42. Tomorrow, cloudy skies with a high of 60. Tomorrow night, showers moving into the area in the evening with a low of 33. Friday, sunny skies with a high of 51 degrees. Friday night, clear skies with a low near freezing. Saturday, partly cloudy with a high of 56. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low of 36. And Sunday, sunny with a high near 60 degrees.
Taking a look at some events happening in your region, F. Scott Fitzgerald's The Great Gatsby will be performed by the Viking Thespians at Brown County High School's Performing Arts Center. Performances are 7 p.m. on Tuesday, November 30th, and Friday, December 1st, and at 2 p.m. on Saturday, December 2nd. General admission tickets are $5.
The 8th Annual Craft Bazaar, the MSU Student Art and Craft Sale, will be held November 30th and December 1st in the gallery of Moorhead State University's Claypool Young Art Building. Available for purchase will be locally produced jewelry, paintings, knitwear, prints, ceramics, and more. Hours are 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Thursday, November 30th, and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Friday, December 1st. Admission is free and it is open to the public.
The MSU Adult Learning Center provides new books to children in Round County with a storybook Christmas. New books may be left weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. by December 1st at Moorhead State Public Radio, 132 Breckenridge Hall at Moorhead State University. New books may also be left at drop-off sites around Moorhead and Round County. For more information, call 783-2871.
The Allegro Dance Project will feature contemporary dance, circus arts, and live music at the Lyric Theater in Lexington at 7 p.m. on Saturday, January 13th. Reserved seats are priced from $15 to $20. Proceeds will support Allegro Dance Project's inclusive dance outreach program for children with specific needs.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition today. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Cody Robinson, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Arlo Barnett, Jacob Lindberg, Kenzie Thompson, and Braxton Howard. KNN's Will Clark pitched in, and our feature segment today came from Logan Pemberton. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH9S.
Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Logan Pemberton and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.